You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. It's been a year and a half since the fire at the Ghost Ship warehouse in East Oakland that killed 36 partygoers. And new information about the tragedy is still coming out. Late last month, East Bay Times writers David DeBolt and Matthias Gaffney published an article on the trove of police body camera videos they uncovered. These videos show what Oakland police knew about the warehouse before the fire and what happened the night of the fire. The East Bay Times won a Pulitzer Prize last year for their coverage of the Ghost Ship fire, and David DeBolt was part of that reporting team. DeBolt joined KELW's Jeremy Dalmas in studio to talk about these new videos and about litigation around who's to blame for the 36 deaths.
So the East Bay Times was able to get more than a dozen videos from police body cameras. These are videos that the public has never seen before, right? What's in them?
Yes, we were able to get through a source about a dozen sets of videos that show police responding to the Ghost Ship in the 2+ years before the fire. You have everything from being called there to settle, you know, disputes between tenants. There's a stabbing there. Two officers were called there by someone who was concerned that the children were living inside the Ghost Ship, that being Derek Almeida's kids. What they show us is this raw video of the officers walking inside, using the makeshift staircase, one officer questioning the dangers they're seeing around them. They go on all levels of the Ghost Ship, from the first floor to the second floor. They even get up on the roof in one case to save a man who was threatening to jump off the roof.
Oh, wow.
Which was a pretty heroic rescue. But so they saw, you know, every nook and cranny of that warehouse, which we now know, you know, was obviously a danger to its residents and attendees.
Yeah, and so there's a series of videos from before the fire, and there's a series of videos the night of the fire as well, right?
Yes, and I should say this is hours and hours of footage that me and Matthias reviewed. Some of the most shocking stuff was, the night of the fire, where, you know, you can see in the videos the fire is still raging. You know, people are huddled in the Wendy's parking lot across the street with Red Cross blankets. The officers are trying to get sort of a sense of the magnitude of the fire. You can hear them in the videos listing names of the missing, who we now know, you know, are among the dead. They're comforting relatives, you know, trying to get them to cling, you know, to some hope. But as they're going through the list, you can hear the voice in the officers just drop. They're realizing that, you know, this is a great tragedy, one that Oakland hasn't seen before.
Yeah. There's, like you said, hours of footage. I imagine you spent a lot of time going through it all. And I'm curious what parts really stood out to you.
Yeah, for us, it was the parts where, you know, police were walking inside the Ghost Ship. They were there a lot, not always welcomed them in, but, you know, I found on at least 7 occasions they had went inside and, you know, had full view, even in the daytime, of what it looked like in there. It was also important to note that in a couple of the cases, the officers themselves said, hey, we need to shut this place down. We're coming here too often. This is becoming a problem for us. And it's now become clear through this, you know, latest dump of videos that more than one officer was there more than one time, and they were well acquainted with the building and with Derek Almeida, the master tenant.
It's been about a year and a half since the fire, and I'm curious what these videos show that the public might not already know.
We have reported a lot about the visits, but I think it kind of brings to life what, you know, and we're able to see for ourselves now what the officers saw when they walked in there. We've been reporting from the get-go about, you know, the numerous visits by police and fire. But I think this just gives a clear view of what the cops saw, you know, on the multiple visits at the Ghost Ship. This wasn't some, you know, some secret place or a mystery. You know, this was on the city's radar. To be fair, police officers they're not firefighters, they're not building inspectors. They at that time did not have a policy where they even had to report these things to building or fire. They've now since changed that policy in the wake of Ghost Ship. But I mean, it just shows that perhaps there's a need for law enforcement to be, you know, a little more aware of what they're seeing when they're going on these calls. That, you know, all it would have taken was an email to a, you know, fire official or the building department, say, hey, I think you guys should take a look at this place. Because ultimately, you know, from the building to fire to police, they're all saying, hey, we didn't know about this, or this wasn't our job to enforce this. And so whose job was it? You know, and I think these videos show that the police knew what was going on in there. And in one case, one officer said, one spark and it will, you know, be all bad. It's like a huge fireplace in here. So he was noting the fire dangers. And I will also add, it's unfortunate that firefighters, they're not equipped with body cameras, because we can't see what they saw. They had been there on at least 3 occasions we know of, but There's no footage of that. So, you know, we can't say with certainty what they saw when they were going inside the building.
I understand it wasn't easy getting access to these videos. Can you tell me about that?
So it took us about a little more than a year to get all the ones we had requested from the city. But what we didn't realize was there's a lot more videos that, you know, and I learned from a source who was like, oh, no, there's a lot more you guys don't have. And I just requested it, and that person handed them over to us. And that resulted in our review of, like I said, hours. And I myself must have watched like 10 hours of footage.
I'm curious, with all these new videos, what that means maybe for the city and possible litigation? Because like, the videos show the police knew the people lived there, that they had parties there. The police knew that it was unsafe. What could that mean for the city of Oakland?
Well, I mean, all those allegations are included in the claim or in the lawsuit filed against the city. This is a lawsuit that's been filed on behalf of the victims, families, and also some former tenants who lived at Ghost Ship. It's filed against the city of Oakland, PG&E, Chor Ng, the landlord, Derek Almina, and a host of other people who were involved in promoting the party that night. This is what they call a complex litigation case because it involves so many parties. So they've all been moved into one massive lawsuit. And in that suit, they make all these claims. That's kind of it's essential to the lawsuit that the city knew, and they didn't do anything about it.
So Derek Almena and Max Harris are two men who lived at the warehouse, and they're the only two people who are facing criminal charges right now. Could these videos affect those cases at all?
You know, could. I mean, their attorneys, after reading our stories, said, hey, look, this shows the city knew they didn't do anything and that they approved of this place. Tony Serra, who represents Derek, is saying this is further proof that the city of Oakland greenlighted this and gave the impression to my client that this was okay. I don't know if it'll have an effect on a jury, and I guess we'll have to wait and see. They're each facing 36 counts of involuntary manslaughter, and the judges refused to reduce their bail, so they're still in custody.
So there's Chor Ng, who's the owner of the building, and she could face criminal charges, right? But she hasn't yet. That's a potential.
The DA's office did look into or have discussions about charging Chor and her two kids, Kai Ng and Eva Ng. They sort of had more involvement with the warehouse. Kai was sort of the manager there. Eva collected rent. What we're told right now is that from DA O'Malley, the district attorney, that there's a degree of separation between the Ng family and the warehouse. They weren't the ones who were installing the illegal transformer, which was used there, and all the other unpermitted work that went on at Ghost Ship. There is an argument, I think, that at least Kai Ng knew about this. There are emails we've obtained that shows that he knew about the unpermitted work. He approved of it. He even sent an invoice to Derek and Max about one of the installations of a transformer. The DA has not sort of gone into great detail explaining her decision-making in this process, but they do say they're still continuing to review it. But it doesn't look likely at this point.
You know, it's been a year and a half since the fire, and with more knowledge, more hindsight, I'm wondering how we evaluate who to blame for these 36 deaths.
It's a tough call. I mean, there's a lot of factors here. you know, certainly Max and Derek for, you know, creating the unsafe environment. You know, it wasn't the city packing pianos in there, approving of the unpermitted work. City of Oakland, this place was not on their fire inspection rolls. It was never inspected, as it should have been. You know, police and fire had been inside. They certainly had some knowledge about the dangers there. And the landlords. I mean, the landlords rented this place out. They say they didn't know anyone was living there. I find that hard to believe, you know, given clear evidence of beds and overnight stays there. But at the end of the day, 35 of the 36 who died didn't live at Ghost Ship. Peter Wadsworth was the only tenant who died. These were people who showed up for a dance party that was also legal to have there. And, you know, police and fire had been there before when they were throwing these illegal parties and never shut it down as an illegal cabaret. So I think that's a factor as well. And I'll note two people that died because they didn't live there. They might not have known how to get out of there. They didn't know that there was that second stairwell in the back that was a much safer stairwell to use. It wasn't going to burn in the fire. So they didn't have the knowledge that the tenants had there, and it probably wasn't explained to them. They weren't in a familiar place. One of the men who escaped, Aaron Marin, he knew there was a window he can climb out of, and he hung from an electrical cord until that thing burned and he dropped to the ground. But he had been staying there. He's from Portland, but he had been staying there because he's a friend of Derek's, I believe, and he had knowledge and was trying to get people to follow him, but, you know, in the chaos, no one knew where to go.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me.